You gotta be bad, you gotta be bold, you gotta be wiser. You gotta be hard, you gotta be strong, you gotta be tougher. I think I messed up those lyrics, but that doesn't matter because we won tonight. Sons, go and play the Minnesota Timberwolves. From the great north, winter is coming. And what do? They take on the number one team in the Western Conference. And they win. They win well. You know, you might look at the final score and go, damn, okay, 10-point win. Dude, the bench blew it at the fucking end. It was a 23-point lead when the Suns decided to empty the bench, and they ended up winning by 10. So Nasir Little played so bad that K-Ray called him Nas Reed because he forgot what his name was because he hasn't been out there long enough. So, but a decisive win for the Phoenix Suns. They are now 4-1 in their last five, all of five of which were part of that 10-game gauntlet that we were talking about. So, I love how this team is playing right now. Again, you got to be tentative, but we can be excited because this is great basketball we're watching. Matthew's coming to us live from the Footprint Center. Matthew, how you doing? Hope you don't get kicked out.
What's up, everybody? I'm here live from the Footprint Center. We got the Suns jam session starting right now. I don't know. I love how you start out with songs now every time, dude. It's really getting me in the mood. Like sometimes before pod, I'm like, I don't know if I had this in me, but you lift me up with your spirits, John.
Some 90s R&B, man. You can't go wrong with that. And you can't go wrong with Biscuits and the Bear giving us $23 in the super chat. Says 174 seconds is all it took to go from 23 to up 10. What a game. Kept the number one defense team in check at every turn. Looks like the Suns are hitting that new gear. Yes. Thank you for that donation, Biscuits and the Bear. Truly appreciate it and completely agree. The Suns are starting to hit that gear that we've all been wondering that they whether or not they can hit. And it's definitely something that we're going to talk about on this edition of the Suns Jam Session podcast. So we thank you for taking a little time out of your day to hang out with us post-game. And if you happen to be like John Tran, who's watching in the chat, and was actually watching us on Playback TV, this was the first game that we have from the Bright Side of the Sun standpoint, streamed on playback.tv. So if you want to watch the game with some Suns fans, subscribe to that channel, the Bright Side of the Sun playback.tv channel. It's just sitting around drinking beers with me, watching the game, watching me on my phone, going through subreddit stakeout. It's compelling TV, Matthew. I wish you could have been there.
I was there for a little bit, but I like watching Barstool Sports. They do that a lot where they do like the live games. They have like the couches set up.
Yeah.
I'll sit there for like 10 minutes sometimes and watch, but oh, wait, what am I doing? Like, why am I watching these guys watch a game? But it's very addicting, man.
100%.
And watch us even more.
Watch us if you really want, like, watch us. And one of the fun things about it, and Joe Casillas in the chat, shout out to him. It was great to see you when you came into town, man. It was really fun to connect with you. It's been since high school since we'd seen each other. But he says Kings and Pelicans L's tonight too. And one of the fun things was on playback.tv, I was going to the end of those games and watching them to see what was happening in between watching the Suns game. So again, if you subscribe to it, you can come. It's league pass. And I know that it kind of is unfortunate that it's happening right at the end of the season, but it's definitely something that we'll have for next season, the ability to watch games and watch what's going on around the league and check in. I thought it was really, really fun. So again, I'll put a link in the bio and all that fun stuff, whether you're watching or listening to the Bright Side of the Sun playback .tv to hang out with Matthew and myself. Matthew, are you going to do it next game? Because I might end up going to the game. I don't think we're doing the Black Keys thing.
Yeah, yeah, I'll do it. I would love to just sit there and just mess around. And, you know,
Billy. Yeah.
Hey, your friend, Joe Casillas? Thought that was John Wick in his picture the whole time. That's really him?
That's Joe Casillas, man.
Yeah, God bless him, dude.
Yeah, he's a beautiful man.
Yeah, I thought that was Keanu Reeves the whole time.
No, that's Joe Casillas, man.
Because everyone has like different like photos. No one wants to know a photo of themselves. No,
he was the best BMXer in middle school down at the 42nd Street jumps on 42nd and Thomas, man. Like we'd all casually kind of like ride it. We take these little jumps and then there's like Joe's like doing fucking backflips and stuff. It was crazy. So Seth says, so free trial for League Pass, right? That works. I'm pretty sure it does. As long as you have that League Pass, it'll get you right in there. So we'll talk about what that experience was like, as well as the experience of watching the Phoenix Suns tonight. So crack them if you got them, Suns fans. I already have a Diet Dr. Pepper. I was drinking a beer during the game. But I have a Dr. Pepper. It is already cracked. Shannon came in and cracked it, so I can't crack that for you for the audio. So just, you know, there's your ASMR, AMRS, whatever. Play the drop. Just press the button. Ashley, can you just press the button? Suns win tonight by a final score of 97-87 against the number one team in the Western Conference, the Minnesota Timberwolves, who are definitely playing for something. They're half game up on Denver. They want that number one seed, of course, and the Suns took from them something that they wanted, which was a W. And it brings me to my first question.
Oi, Matty. Mate, I've got to ask.
So, Matthew, I got to ask. This team, the Phoenix Suns, start the game on a 13-0 run. And the first thing that goes through my head, and maybe it does for you and it doesn't for others, is, dang, man, they started too fast, right? So my question is too much success early in a game a bad thing?
Well, typically, yes. I would say that because there's so many runs in an NBA game, you're just like, nothing is safe. But the way the Suns are playing these games as of late is like, give it their all in the first half, the first quarter, get that lead, slow things down, play great defense, and then get shots when you need shots, get stops when you need stops. That's what they've been playing the last three games here. They've been getting on top of teams, calling timeouts to three, like when it goes down to 13 or 14 points, that lead. And then they just get right back into the game. So that's the way they've been playing, and I don't want to jinx it or anything. So I'm down for that. It's pretty boring the second half of these games, but I can deal with the wins.
So I agree, and it's because of who the Suns are right now where I'm not overly worried. But you think about it, and we've seen this from the Suns throughout the season where they come out, they jump on the competition right away. It happens all the time, right? Like 46 points in the first quarter, and then like, where are they in the second? And that's why we're up 13, and then we're up like 15-2, and I'm just like, oh, man, this is great. Oh, man, are we just going to lose that edge? Are we going to lose that focus as a team? Because Phoenix has had challenges with both edge and focus throughout the season. And it was great to see tonight them come out 13-point lead and continue to build upon that throughout the entire game with the way that they managed to play on both ends of the floor, primarily the defensive end of the floor. You look at that final number, you can see that the Suns only scored 97 points. And I see Michael Kolb in the chat, and he's going crazy. He's like, our offense sucked all night. Yeah, this was the number one defense in the league that we're playing against. Like, and has been for the majority of the season. This is a team that disrupts passing lanes. This is a team that blocks shots. This is a team that plays with heart and hustle, has great perimeter defense, and with Anthony Edwards being unleashed, makes life hell on opposing teams. That's why they're the number one seed in the Western Conference, because of their defense. So to score 97 on them isn't something I'm necessarily shocked about. It's the fact that we held them to 87, and it was really more than that. I mean, they had 68 points with midway through the fourth quarter, 68 points. It was our defense that was dictating paces. It was our defense that was jumping passing lanes and getting turnovers. It was our defense that was generating offense and leading those turnovers into points that were valuable. That's how we beat this team tonight. We beat them because from a second chance, from a points off turnover standpoint, the variance was one. The Timberwolves had 19 turnovers. The Suns had 18. But we allowed 12 points off of those 18 turnovers. We scored 24 points off of those 19 turnovers. We doubled them up on points on turnovers, Matthew.
Yeah, there was 19 in the first half for the Suns, points off turnovers.
Yeah.
Suns still had 8, but the Wolves, I'll call them the T-Wolves or the Wolves.
The T-Wolves.
I think it's the Wolves. You can call them that, right? I'm going to say that, you know, they had the 14 turnovers, which is kind of crazy to see because you would think that this offense, like the Wolves play, like downhill, getting to the rim and all that, would be something that they can do against the Suns. Because the Suns have given up drives in the lane all year long, and they haven't been very good at the rim. But they played pretty good at the rim, and it was led by Nurk tonight, I felt like, in the beginning of the game and the first half. And then also, like, just hitting five threes in the first half and still having that lead and just holding to the Timberwolves at 36% shooting. Like, that's pretty incredible. But then also it's like, well, did they just miss easy shots? Sometimes they did. Sometimes the Wolves missed some easy shots at the rim. But some of the Suns, I don't know what was on that ball. Wax makes it harder to catch. Is there wax on the ball, or what would be to make it slippery? Something gooey on it. But it was slippery as hell for both teams, I feel like, in the first half.
Yeah, right off the bat. I mean, Bradley Beal, I wrote in my notes, I'm like, Butterfinger Bradley Beal? Like, every time he had the ball, it just kind of slipped off his hands. And he passed it to KD, and he'd slip off his hands. And I felt like I've been watching that Patriots documentary on Apple TV, and they're going over the whole, what was it, Deflategate, right? And they're showing them, like, taking the footballs and on the sander or whatever to kind of rough them out and make them grip better. I'm like, they need to do that at halftime. Like, it's just not gripping right. And it was kind of like that for both teams, but it's how you execute in those situations. And the Suns were executing, and they were doing everything that they needed to do, obviously, to be successful. And it might've been a bad offensive night from a shooting standpoint, but from a facilitation standpoint, Devin Booker, great night there.
Big Dick Booker.
Now, he ended with 13 total points, but it was on 3 of 12 shooting. I mean, that is bad for Devin Booker. And 1 of 5 from beyond the arc. And this is one where I do credit some of the defense, but I also credit the fact that his shot was just off tonight. But the fact that he had those 13 assists, he also turned the ball over 7 times, by the way. But 13, 13, and 7 turnovers for Devin Booker. What'd you see? How'd it look in the arena tonight, Matthew?
The shooting wasn't as noticeable. To be honest, it really wasn't. They're playing the loudest song, of course, right now. A hallelujah song. Do you want to go first and let this go?
Yeah.
You can even hear me.
Yeah, it's funny. Sometimes after the games, it's a Friday night. That's why on Friday nights, like, they're like singing hallelujah out there. They must have heard the podcast when that's how I started the podcast last time. Yeah, I'm with you. I don't know if it was necessarily noticeable because of the way that it occurred in the flow of the offense. Had it been a lot of isolation plays for Devin Booker, and then it ended in a result in which he missed the shot, I think it would have felt much more noticeable. But, you know, you look at kind of how the game progressed for him. First quarter, he was 1 of 4 from the field. Second quarter, he comes out, he's 1 of 2. So overall, in the first half, you know, Booker's what, 2 of 6 in the first half for 8 points and 8 assists. So you're like, okay, he's not shooting a bunch, and he's definitely focusing on distribution. In the second half, he was 1 of 6 from the field, right? Not great. Obviously, 1 of 3 from beyond the arc, 5 points, 5 assists, 4 turnovers in that second half because of that third quarter. That third quarter was really the Suns only scored 20 points in the second, or I'm sorry, in the third quarter and the fourth quarter. But Devin Booker had 4 turnovers in that third. He was 0 of 5. And thankfully, their defense did what they needed to do to stop a potential run from occurring for the Minnesota Timberwolves. But Booker just didn't look good in that third. The fourth quarter, thankfully, the team got, you know, around him because of his distribution. He was able to impact the game positively, and his teammates knocked down the shots. That's why he had 13 assists, because the rest of the team around him was shooting great. Grayson Allen, great game. Nurk was interesting. We'll talk about him. But I liked the fact that he, when the shot wasn't there, the distribution was. Because had it not been, obviously, it would have been a much different conversation tonight. Are they still singing hallelujah?
No, I think it's over right now. I think they're going to like a little verse before the chorus. So I think that, Books, it wasn't as noticeable because he went quickly away from the shot. He wasn't like forcing it at all. And it seemed like the big three just seemed so individualized out there. Like, they were just themselves for once. You know what I mean? Like, going to every game, you're like, okay, how are they going to impact with this game? Like, what are they going to do? And they always look so uncomfortable on the court and in certain aspects of the game. But today, and I noticed a little bit last game, they just seem like themselves, man. Like, they seem like they're comfortable in doing whatever they need to do to win. Like, the focus was on Bradley Beal being the point guard, which makes no sense.
The hell? What kind of club are you in?
I don't know. There's like not even anybody here. I don't know what's going on.
They're just testing the sound system.
I guess so. I think they know Suns Jam is on. They're trying to kill our ratings. So anyways, whatever I was saying, but I really do think, though, that Book going away from it and just, you know, moving the ball around, that was more noticeable than those missed shots. I know it's because the Suns won, but this is playoff basketball, man. Like, these games are going to get ugly and slow like this. So the way the team adapts to it and whatever Book can do to help win, that's what's crucial. And that's what's big. That's what really stood out tonight.
Well, I agree. And one thing that I wrote in my notes was when the defense is playing as well as it did tonight, you don't need to rely on any one member of the big three. They can all kind of operate in their own space and help each other out and take every aspect of the game and spread it out over the totality of the game. Grayson Allen, he's the one who led everybody in scoring tonight with 23 points. But KD had 22 points. He had 6 assists. He had 6 rebounds. Bradley Beal ends with 14 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. He was 6 of 9 shooting. A little bit of foul trouble kind of got to him. And Kevin Durant, you know, going back to him, just one turnover. Bradley Beal, just 2 turnovers. But when you had kind of an even score, like every starter scored in double digits, and then you got some production off the bench, and most importantly, the defense was locked in. They put that effort in on the defense, and so they didn't need to go crazy on offense. And we've talked about this kind of throughout the season, and it's been some of the frustrations that, as a fan base, that we've all shared collectively, is this team has the talent. But sometimes they get in their own way. They get lackadaisical in multiple aspects of the game. And because of that, they don't execute the way that they should. They start to force things, which creates turnovers. And ultimately, they lose shootouts versus something like this, like a defensive matchup where your offense, because if you get a defensive matchup against somebody, our 1-2-3 is better than any 1-2-3 in the league. Name a better 1-2-3 than what the Suns have. I just don't see it. So if you can focus that energy on the defensive end and hit your rotations and close out, and I mean, again, the way that they were forcing the Minnesota Timberwolves, the T-Wolves, if you will, the T-Bag Wolves, into different spots, into where they didn't want to shoot, into tough possessions, long possessions, tiring possessions, and they focused on that, it opened up the offense for them, and it creates a holistic basketball team that we've seen over the past 2 weeks, if you will. You know, you go back and you look, the Suns gave up 101 points to the Cavs, 111 to the Pelicans, but they beat them by 13. They gave up that 128 to Oklahoma City, and that was their 25-point loss. They gave up 97 points to the Nuggets. They lost to the Spurs, but they gave up 104. They beat the Spurs, they gave up 106. They played the Hawks and gave up a buck 15, but they beat them by 13. They gave up 102 to the Sixers, right? So that span right there of, what, 7, now 8 games? It's 8 games where the defense is starting to lock in, where iron has been sharpening iron, and this team is starting to lock in. Does it give you hope?
It does, because you want to see wins like this where everything else is hitting. Everything else is good defensively, everything, the closeouts, getting back in transition. It's huge. They're getting back to where they need to be, defending the rim, not letting easy lanes. You don't see easy dunks anymore. You don't see shit like that anymore. So if that comes together, that's fine. Like I said earlier, they have the guys that hit the shots. They have Kevin Durant, the run stoppers. They can call the timeout. Big timeout by Frank Vogel tonight, which was huge.
Yes.
Like getting down to 14 or 13 point leads. It's like timeout, perfect, come back, extend it back to 20, 21 points.
Yes.
That's exactly what they need to do. They need to focus on that because they know that even if you want to say Beal can be the facilitator, it's like, no, dude, this guy can come out here and he can play like he did in the first quarter and just get that lead for us. Like, there's no like right or wrong way to really play this. As long as everything else is working defensively,
bingo.
Offensively, they figured it out. They'll figure it out and they'll win games like this because they have the smarts. They have the coach that can call the right timeouts and get the game plan switched around. I think they really do. And they just have the players that need to respond. They have that. It's just the little stupid fucking turnovers that still happen. Other than that, man, this team's heading in the right direction. After 3 games, entering these last 9 games, this is like the best version I feel like I could have gotten. I couldn't have really kind of drawn it out or written it out any better than this, I feel like, right now. I know it's kind of ugly a little bit sometimes, but it's still heading in the right direction.
It is, but they're winning those games on the defensive end. And I think back to the podcast that we were having after we beat the Philadelphia 76ers. And you and I are both sitting in the parking lot, driving to get out of there. And it was a great win. We won 115 to 102. And we're sitting there and we're like, wow, like that's what defense looks like from the Phoenix Suns. And knowing that they're without Joel Embiid at that time, but still knowing, and then the next night it was the Atlanta Hawks. And it was the same thing. We're like, okay, this is what like good defense can equate to. And the conversation that you and I were having at that time, Matthew, was, listen, I'm excited to see this, but we need to see it more consistently. And we need to see it as part of a trend, if you will. And that trend has begun to occur. And the other thing that I kept coming back to is we so often sit and kind of pick apart aspects of the offense. Kevin Durant is running too much isolation. Devin Booker, you know, why is he taking that shot? Bradley Beal, why is he not taking enough shots? You know, things like that. And that was when we were sitting there talking about those games, and we were talking about how this offense functions at its best. But at the end of the day, we're not worried about this offense functioning at its best. We're worried about how we respond on defense. And we've seen that consistently now for about 8 games. And that's where, again, from a hope standpoint, my hope is up because I have hope in this team again because I've seen it. And I know that teams around the league are looking around and they're seeing what the Phoenix Suns are doing. Nobody wants to play the Phoenix Suns in any playoff round because of the offensive firepower that we possess. But if we can all of a sudden start to play some quality defense and hustle, knowing that it's going to benefit the offense because the offense is going to come naturally, right? Like, yeah, we didn't run enough offensive sets or we ran a little bit too much isolation ball. You're going to do that when you have this level of talent on your team. It's just going to happen. What we should all be doing as fans, and it's what I've been saying for the past 9 games now, is focus on what they're doing on defense. Because if we can dial that in, that side of the ball in, this team does become scary. Well, guess what, Jamsters? Again, we're 5 games through the 10-game gauntlet that lies before the Phoenix Suns, and they're 4-1. We got New Orleans on Sunday, which is a team that we just beat, a team that lost tonight, a team that even if we lose to, we hold the season series against because we've beat them twice at the Smoothie King Arena in New Orleans. So out of the 3 games, we've at least won 2. So if it comes down to a tiebreaker between us and the Pelicans, we win that one. And then after that, we have 2 against the Clippers. The Clippers in their last 26 games are 13-13. They're a team that was blowing people away with their offense early in the season, but they're starting to run into some of the issues that many feared. You know, a slower James Harden, a team that's not hustling on defense, a team that's digressing in that capacity, whereas the Suns are trending upwards. So again, is there hope? Yeah. Am I afraid of the hope? Of course. I'm a Suns fan. You can't have hope. The moment I feel this, you know, like Devin Booker will get in a car accident tomorrow or something. It's just Suns luck. And I swear to God, if that happens and then somebody snips this, my life is over.
Yeah, it would be over. There are 2 teams, though, I want to avoid, just the Clippers and probably the Mavericks, because if I were to choose like 1 team right now out of the West, because going through it, like I'm not scared of a lot of these teams, the way the Suns have been playing, right? I just think that they can handle a lot of these teams out West, including the Nuggets and the Thunder and, of course, the Wolves tonight. But the Clippers and Mavericks still scare me. I know the Clippers can turn it on, and that's what they're waiting for. I really think that defensively they'll turn on when it's necessary, and they'll get big shots. It's just up to the James Harden not choking in the playoffs, which is very hard to just avoid if you're a James Harden Clippers fan. It might happen. So I'm thinking that with the Suns right now lined up, you know, they're going to play the Thunder. It's going to change, of course. You got the Thunder and then maybe the Nuggets in the second round. Right now, it doesn't seem too bad. I think it'll obviously be great series between both those teams. But the Suns have just handled themselves in a way where it's like they seem like they're in control of their own destiny right now, where, like you said, no one wants to face them. And like they're so high powered offensively that it's just going to make it difficult for any team to really kind of contain them within 5 or 6 games of a playoff series, not to extend it to 7. So that's how I'm looking at it right now. And it is kind of crazy how the Suns team can just turn it on this way. And we kept saying that all season long, right? And we got the 3 games in a row. So I think I'm kind of hoping for, of course, the remaining schedule, like I said, 6-4. So they're right now they're 3-0, right?
4-1.
4-1. Okay, so they're trending in the right. So they might have a few losses here and there, but the way they've showed it, like tonight, and if they were to lose a couple that are just kind of closer, but they put in this effort and get rid of those takeaways, it's a very solid Suns team, and it's kind of exciting because you didn't really think it would go this way towards the end.
No, I mean, when we lost to the Spurs was the last easy game that we had, and when we lost that, we're like, fuck, man. I mean, that was kind of the low point in my opinion of the season, even though we I think we're like 12 games over 500 at that point. We're just like, oh man, I just don't know. I just don't know what to expect from this team and which direction that we're trending, and can they lock it in? Are we just one of those teams that just haven't had the ability to reach their full potential because of the way that they've approached with their attitude and their effort on the court night in and night out? Now, I'm with you. Dallas is a team I don't want to face because, and perhaps you can say it's part of me scarred because of what Luka has done against us in the playoffs in the past. It's a team that I just, you know, you go into a series and you want to have the best player. And if you play them and if you play the Nuggets, like, you don't have the best player. Like, Luka might not be the best talent, but he's going to, and the way that he plays the Suns, I don't know. The Clippers, I don't know yet. The Clippers, like I said, when we played the Clippers and we lost twice, and that was early January, I think 2nd and or 3rd and 8th, we lost to them 131 to 122 and then 138 to 111. They whooped our ass twice in a matter of 5 days. So our the taste, the palate in our mouths is not good from the experiences that we had from the only times that we've seen the Clippers. But again, knowing that they're on the backswing, that they're having some issues, I forget who they played the other day, and they beat the living shit out of them. So, I mean, they definitely have that offensive firepower. But I want to see how we play them the two games next week, the home and home, the one where we play them here for the last home game of the regular season, and then going on the road to LA after that before our season ultimately ends in Sacramento and then Minnesota. Once I see that, then I'll know. Then I'll let you know. I wouldn't mind seeing this team in the playoffs, or fuck, I don't want to see this team in the playoffs. So we'll see how that goes. I do want to hit you with a little stat me.
Ooh, dang, stat me.
Shout out to the legendary Dave King for the stat me drop. Brought to us in the chat, we have David Ray. He says, at Suns Jam Session Podcast, this is the first time this season where we've scored under 100 points and won. You've been statted.
That's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
It is. It's kind of nice. A little Detroit Pistons era.
I'll tell you. Yeah, it is. There's something about the Pistons in the subreddit stakeout. Speaking of not beautiful, but I guess effective.
Nerk.
Delicious definition. Make them boys go crazy.
Oh. So this is one of those games where you have Rudy Gobert. You got Yusuf Nurkic. You got two big bodies just slapping it down into paint. Yusuf Nurkic ends up going 5 of 11 from the field. He has 11 total points, has 6 assists, has 15 total rebounds, 5 personal fouls, 4 turnovers, 3 steals, 1 block, and a partridge in a pear tree. It was kind of ugly from Nurk tonight, but it was effective. You're playing against Rudy Gobert, who's a former defensive player of the year, who many have as the favorite for the defensive player of the year this year. People are not giving it to Wemby quite yet, even though I think Wemby should probably get it. In fact, I was watching the Spurs and the Pelicans game, right? And I think I posted this on our Brightside Twitter feed because, again, we're doing playback TV, and you can sit there and you can watch games and you can clip things real quick and your reactions to them. And it was like around the end of the game, and the Spurs got the ball, and I think they're up one and they shoot just a dumb three, and then the other team, the Pelicans, come down, and it's like, oh man, they can score this and they're gonna win the game, the Pelicans are gonna win this game. And then Wemby block, and I was like, oh, Wemby. So he's like so he's my defensive player of the year. But that being said, Nurkic going against Gobert, you know you're not gonna get some pretty stuff, but Nurk made it look really, really ugly tonight, Matthew.
Yeah, it was pretty nasty. It was even like in the, the fourth quarter to start, there was no offense from anybody. So it was kind of like, we have to go to Nurk. We have nothing else. We had a Beal out there that was about it playing with Bol Bol, but there was nobody else. Like, Eric Gordon bringing the ball down. It's like, you couldn't find offense anywhere. So it was really kind of forcing it down there and just hoping he would release it at the right time. Because I swear how many dinks and dunks he has are just dipping down low with the ball. Like, oh, pump fake, oh, pump fake. And then he just kind of throws it up. Tries to draw a foul, then it's like an offensive foul. So it's ugly at times, but then he got the job done there in the fourth to kind of find a little bit of offense. But to start the game, man, I thought he was really crucial down there in the block. Got some big blocks early, helped, the course, at the rim. He played really great alongside Bol tonight. I mean, Bol playing along any kind of big is really – I mean, him and Eubanks look good too. Yeah. But what you're seeing from Nurk is he's kind of disappearing in a way, but he's getting the dirty stuff done. The only thing is, like, the biggest, nastiest thing watching tonight was when they're trying to get plays going with Nurk or Eubanks doing the pick and roll. Those were just atrocious. I think half of them probably ended up with turnovers.
But that's because you're playing against a great defense.
Yeah, it was hard to do, and it took so long to do. Some of those passes, too, are just like, you know, Aaron Rodgers in the corner of the end zone just like snipped right in there. It's like, boop, how did he get that in there? Like, that's how some of the passes looked tonight, trying to get it to the rim, get it to Beal when he was cutting. So it was difficult to watch, but I don't know. You got something to go in, so it was kind of awesome.
Know what?
Thanks, Nick.
One thing I'll say is, again, kudos to Frank Vogel in this game, because – he left Nurk out there. Nurk instantly gets like the fifth foul. They challenge it, doesn't go down. And then he starts him in the fourth quarter. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh man, I don't know if this is a good idea. But he played, he gave us about three or four effective minutes, didn't get the foul, and he pulled him. And I thought it was great, because if you need him again, you can put him back in there. It's like ride with Eubanks for about three or four minutes midway through the fourth, and then bring. And I just thought it was. I'll give some props, and yeah. I know that people don't necessarily like it, but you know what? Gosh darn it, you're gonna get it. Frankie's rotations in this game were, I was really impressed with what he was doing. You could see his strategy and how he's really starting to dial it in here at the back end of the season, how he's starting that second team unit with Bradley Beal and Bol Bol and Drew Eubanks and Royce O'Neal. And so he's really solidifying those rotations. He's pulling Nurk, like I said, at what I felt was like the right time. Like, Nurk, go out there, give us a few more minutes, be smart. We're going to pull you. We're going to put Eubanks out there. But having him out there to stabilize that offense to start the fourth quarter, even though we started the fourth quarter pretty bad, because of the way that he was playing in there and not fouling, the Wolves weren't playing great either. So I just thought, you know, shout out to Frank. I know everyone's giving a lot of shit. You're not seeing anybody on Twitter saying fire Frank Vogel tonight, huh?
No,
I'm going to tweet that right now.
You know, the article I wrote about having the Suns given up on Frank, ever since then, the Suns are 3-0. So it's always those things, man. Everything, you know, you think you don't hear it or read it. They might not, but it's out there in the universe, and they're feeding off of it somehow. So they obviously responded after that article, and they're like, you know what? Fuck this, dude. We're going to buy into whatever he's feeding us, and it's worked. I think that there's a good mix. And I think with even like the last three games, you can see like how everything's kind of transitioning into something bigger. I know like these games have been great, but it's kind of like there's like a staleness to them where it's like they're kind of still trying to figure things out. And I feel like coming out the other end, it might be even better, even more exciting. Maybe this is it, but I just feel like they're just not there yet, but it's still, they're getting wins. So it's incredible.
Well, that's what you want. You know, and that's the way that this team has, and that's what's impressing us about this team at this point, is the fact that they're not still reaching their potential, but Frank is dialing it in. He's understanding what the pros and cons are of this team, and he's executing effectively, and bam, all of a sudden, you gotta appreciate what he is. Michael Kolb is on one tonight, dude. I'm so sorry, John, but this guy's a clown. Do you watch him on the sidelines just staring into space and not even talking to nobody? Say it. Get the fuck out. Okay, team's winning games, but like he's looking somewhere. Sorry, he's looking somewhere.
Remember the look on Monty's face, though? The yeah. Lost boy? Him and Aiden, the Lost yeah. Boys? Yeah. Yeah,
sorry.
He has a look, though.
Fumar, John Hat is super dope. Thank you.
It is nice and shiny, too, man.
Yeah. If you guys want, you can head over to our Redbubble shop. We got a bunch of new Suns Jam Session gear that I just dropped. Go do it.
Look at my new hat, dude.
Oh, yeah. Matthew's got the Bright Side of the Sun hat on. I'm designing all kinds mm-hmm. of stuff out there. So, yeah, head over to the Redbubble shop, everybody. It's in the link below if you're on YouTube or if you're listening. You can pop over there and get your gear for the playoffs. And I think Redbubble's doing like 30% off of everything on site right now. And, again, it supports the podcast. So I appreciate anybody who does that. We got to talk about Grayson Allen tonight, man.
Hi, Barbie.
Oh, hi, Alan.
Oh, Grayson, Grayson Allen, our fuck shit up guy.
As I mentioned earlier, GA led the team in scoring, 23 points, 6 of 14 from the field, 4 of 8 from beyond the arc, and 7 of 8 from the free throw line. Also had 8 rebounds in this game, and he was doing it in all capacities. He was the fuck shit up guy tonight. I'm dead serious. He was the fuck shit up guy. The way that he was being the person who's going to benefit from the defense that the Timberwolves were throwing at us. There's only so many people you can guard, and that's why we talk about this team when we from an offensive standpoint. I can't say that we've really had a lot of down offense this year unless there's injuries, because with this starting five, they are potent, and GA is going to be the guy who benefits every now and then. I will say this, Matthew, unequivocally, as my friend Flex from Jersey would say, unequivocally, I would never want to start Royce O'Neal over Grayson Allen.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up again, because I was thinking about it in the first quarter. You know, he only had the 3 points in the first quarter, but he's just so much more dynamic than anybody else you can have start there. He's explosive towards the rim. He was short tonight on a few shots, but then he started to get it go down. Had 22 points, right, to finish the game. Was it 22?
23.
23 points. Hit some big threes, of course, but him getting to the rim tonight, man, he made it an emphasis that where he wanted to actually push it and continue to get there. Times he got blocked, times he didn't, but he would still kind of just finish around the rim, draw some fouls. That's what you want him to do. And just to have that, have a guy know, like, hey, we need something on offense. We need to keep pushing it. It's great. But then you're like, well, if he comes off the bench, we'll have that because we already have the big three. But it's like, no, when the offense is awesome with Grayson Allen and you want to continue just put your foot on these guys' throat, like the Wolves in the last three games we've done with our first team offense, even though he missed the last game, like he's that much more impactful. I know you kind of want to spread it out to the bench where you want to have the scoring come off the bench, but to have that lineup and that guy who's like the best 3-point shooter right now in the league, it's just detrimental to any team to start a game. You can come out like you did tonight and either one of these guys are going to get hot, and Grayson Allen is usually one of the guys. So to have that in the starting lineup, it's insane.
Yeah. It's what makes them so, from an offensive standpoint, so hard to guard. Because, and we've known this all season, but again, to see it kind of consistently be something that is just messing with opposing teams. I mean, they don't know how to stop what the Suns were throwing down. And the thing that I've appreciated about him is how he takes the ball to the rim and has that sneaky athleticism that you're like, what do you do? Dunk. You're like, all right, I'm with it. I'm with it. You know, I didn't think he was going to be able to get up for it, you know, but somehow, some way, he continues to just execute that way. And, you know, I was thinking about this the other day, and you know, like maybe this is me being a little bit of a downer, but this is clearly an outlier season for Grayson Allen. He's not going to give us this kind of production ever again. He's, you know, from a 3-point standpoint, like he's literally like having one of the greatest years in the history of the NBA, let alone, you know, Suns history. So I appreciate it. And I know that we're going to pay him this offseason, and hell, I think we should. But at the same time, like, it's just, it makes you kind of sad because his regular season is almost over and you hope he can be this productive in the postseason. And then, you know, that for the next like 4 years, you're just like, man, remember when he shot like 50% from deep? I just completely
yeah,
turned
you
that
remember? On. Yeah. I know, you know, I'm not worried about paying anybody. What once they win it this year, win the championship, they pay all these guys.
Yeah, there you go.
Now, huh? Give them all the money or get rid of them. We got their one championship.
I wonder what it would be like to buy out Bradley Beal's contract. I was thinking about that today too. That'll be something I explore this summer. Real quick, I want to give a shout out to the Aussies Suns fans. That podcast, they've been hosting watch parties over in Australia. Yeah. And, you know, here's a picture of the guys out there on a Saturday afternoon drinking some beers. Ooh. You got Boyd right there in the middle, not smiling, throwing up gang signs. You got Gav over there on the side.
Suck, Mary, kill, dude. Which one? Suck, Mary, kill.
Boyd, 3 times. But, you know, one of the kind of ongoing jokes that we've had is every time they do a watch party, the Suns lose. I think they're 2 in a row. They've won now. I'm sure I'll check our chat after this.
And no, it's be 2 sure. in a row.
2 in a row.
I saw about it. I saw it on you Twitter saw earlier. About it? I saw about it. I saw it earlier on Twitter. I'm like, I'm not even phased. I'm not even worried anymore because we got a victory already when they're doing the watch party.
Yeah, they did it. I think it was the Atlanta game. They did one because that's been the running joke. I'm like, hey, dude, if you guys need a watch party, can you tell us? We won't even do a post game podcast. But yeah, good for good. Congratulations to the Aussies and everything that they did there. A couple other things I had in my notes from this game. Doubling Ant. I thought that was another great vocalism tonight. Almost every time Ant got the ball, they were rushing him and doubling him, kind of like teams have been doing to Devin Booker off and on. And it forced the ball, you know, out of his hands and created the havoc that was necessary on the defensive end for the Phoenix Suns to execute. Anthony Edwards went 6 of 19 from the field for 31.6%. His previous game that he played here when the Suns beat them all the way back in November, he was 4 of 16 for 25%. So the Suns have been a team that Ant has had a hard time with this year. He ends with 17 points. He has 8 rebounds, 3 assists. What'd you see from Anthony Edwards and how the Suns were attacking him today?
It's really weird because I was thinking, like, the last two games, the facilitators that the other teams have had, like, even with Garland, and then you had it with Jokic, and then you had it with even with the Pelicans with Zion, like, where he's trying to be the facilitator now, and they're trying to, like, he just needs more time. Obviously, this is, like, a first full season in a while. They have a good job when these guys get into the lane. Like, they have a good job containing them. I only remember one layup tonight where Ant just got to the rim freely. But lately, dude, they've been containing these guys around the paint, kind of pushing them back out. They kind of get in there, push them back out, either bad shot selection or else they pass it back out to three-point line. Sometimes they're errant passes. They've been doing a good job containing those ball handlers. I thought it was more of the bigger guys like Jokic and Zion, but tonight kind of showed me, like, even with Edwards and how explosive he can be, the Suns are doing a good job containing that in a way I didn't think was really possible. But they definitely are. I think they're, like, the doubles and the actual energy that they're spending on these guys defensively to shut them down to where they go away and they don't really come back. It's hard for these guys to come back and have a finish on the game because they're already kind of taken out of the game. That's pretty awesome to see, dude.
Absolutely. And to take somebody like Anthony Edwards, who everyone has on the hype train for right now, like, if you listen to the Bill Simmons podcast, I think you can hear him masturbating while he talks about Anthony Edwards. He loves him so much. He's like, he's the future USA best player in the world. Yeah, you know, I do too. Like, I actually, like, I'm a fan of Anthony Edwards, but playing against him and shutting him down and taking him out of his element. And every time he drives, he just starts to yell. How many times he yelled the whole game? I was like,
I didn't hear up here.
No, well, he was yelling a lot. Like, he'd go in and, like, before contact would happen, he'd just kind of yell. And I was on playback.tv. Again, if you guys haven't had a chance, head
over to
playback.tv and check out Bright Side of the Sun's channel. We go live and you can hang out with us as we watch games. But I was sitting on there, I'm like, what does Anthony Edwards think he is? Devin Booker?
Yeah, but can you imagine, like, practicing that though? We have to yell. You have to have a yell, and, like, what's when to release and all that. That must be an awkward thing to do, but maybe not. I mean, I think it's something they kind of form in junior high or high school, right?
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Something where it's like, all right, welcome to the NBA. Let's get your yell out of the way. Where's your yell at? You know?
They go to yell camp. It's like the summer league and then yell camp. It's in between the two, and then you start the preseason.
That'd be deep. Sometimes you might squeak. You might squeak sometimes. I hear
it's like it. it's like don't be a Matthew and have your voice break halfway through. Like, oh, was that phlegm? Oh, you failed. You failed.
You're not getting shit with phlegm, dude.
You failed. You're not
getting
get
in your way. Yeah, you're not
getting Maya B in the chat. She says, OMG, when Ant was trying to guard KD and he was damn near molesting him. Yeah, there was a few possessions where Ant was trying to guard Kevin Durant. And he was just all up in his shorts and he wasn't getting called for anything, you know. But that's like so much.
And I'll
ask you this, I mean, obviously we've been tempered to watch NBA through a certain lens through quite some time. We're seeing a lot more physicality. We're seeing things that were always called fouls, not being fouls. How are you liking it?
I love it. I do like it. But I like even more tonight where the Suns, where they shoot 11 for 12, I think in the third quarter when things really slowed down. So they hit their free throws when it mattered, but I do like it. I think
the scores,
like you said, it's so free flowing where tonight there was a lot of fouls called. I feel like there was a lot of stoppages, maybe due to bad passes going out of bounds, but also just there was more fouls in this game towards the end. And I was like, oh, this is kind of weird. I'm not used to this shit.
There was definitely a lot of fouls because, I mean, Nurk had 5, Kevin Durant ended with 4, Bradley Beal and Devin Booker had 3, and Beal had 3 like halfway through or right at the beginning of the first or second quarter. I mean, that was one of the frustrating things for Beal. He was kind of on a heater and then he got in foul trouble and it took him out of the game for the remainder of the game, for the majority of the game. So, and out of his game, if you will. But I definitely love it because it doesn't reward you know, I'd rather side on that wasn't a foul than that was a foul. And we got too much to the on that yes. side of the spectrum where it's like, he yelled, must have been a foul. Or he went up and he lost the ball, must have been a foul. Or he's jumping yeah. into a guy. Well, it must be that guy's fault. He shouldn't have been standing there. It's like, well, what's the point of defense? It's allowing teams to play defense. And if the Suns are now starting to adjust to that and realizing, oh, shit, because we had this conversation after the All-Star break. And I think it was after the Boston game where, you know what, Boston was hacking the shit out of KD. And the league is changing. And the Suns need to understand that and go ahead and be aggressive on the defensive end too. And if you get called for some, great, but you're not going to get called for all of them. And when I talk about the subreddit Stakeout, I will say this. That's all they were talking about in there. There's not a lot of good Suns content in there. They were literally just talking and bitching and moaning about how Ant wasn't getting calls. It's like, dude, I know that Ant's not getting calls, but like all of our guys are in foul trouble. Yeah. So it's like, is it both? Is it two things are true at the same time? I don't know if that's necessarily true.
Well, the thing is that I noticed like the refs are doing a good job not calling the fouls when the offensive player is trying to draw the foul. You know what I mean? Like when they're trying to draw it, they don't call it. But if it's actually contact drawn by the defender, like he actually does foul him for real. Like I know it's a weird thing. Then they'll call it like anytime. Like because I feel like they know these guys' games when they're trying to draw it now. So they kind of just negate that now. And we're like, we're not going to actually pay attention to that shit anymore. So, but you can see the players. I can see even Kevin Durant kind of getting used to it to where he's not complaining as much. You know, he complains a little bit, but he's kind of getting used to it as well, where he's kind of moving on and just getting his shots still, man. 22 points still tonight, dude.
Getting used to it too as well.
Did I say that?
I think you did.
No way. Chancellor, did I say that? It's been a while. As I've been.
The Suns Jam Session subreddit Stakeout. Hi, I'm Kermit the Frog, and I've been preparing for this moment all day. I took a throat lozenge. I ate some a very hearty breakfast. I had some eggs with some bacon. Has anyone seen Miss Piggy?
You've been waiting for that all day too.
Let's talk about what was going on the subreddit of the Minnesota T-Wolves. Wolves? What do they call them? Okay.
I just like it when you just sit there with your mouth closed.
One of the first comments, slow-mo, if you're going to create the contact, at least draw iron. Fuck. Ted Cruz clearly traveled there. Don't know why he was crying. And somebody responded, he suffers from RCF. Resting crying face. We're the Suns' sons. If we get them in the first round, we might get swept. Tell me you are a bitch without telling me you are a bitch. The simple truth is the Suns are flying too close to the sun and about to self-eclipse and go blind and burn in the second half. You heard it here first. Don't worry. You're about to see something epic.
Dude, it's weird how I don't even feel that way going to halftime. I'm easy breezy, dude. I think this team always has it after half.
Gonzo is also easy breezy. Can Booker land on anything but his ass on threes? Booker is
an ass.
Booker is such a fuck. Miss Piggy.
Jeez.
Eubanks was not expecting Ant to yell at him. Did you see that when Ant yelled at Drew Eubanks? He dunked the ball and just screamed at Drew Eubanks. Ant!
It must have happened over here.
It's Drew Eubanks. Settle the fuck down.
Is that them or are you saying that?
That's me.
Oh, okay.
That's me.
I don't know if that was a response. Okay.
No, that's me 100%. Ant, okay. Settle the fuck down, dude. It's fucking Drew Eubanks. Oh, I can dunk on him. Oh. What the hell is going on at the Footprint Center? Me speaky. Grayson has the most punchable face in the NBA. Irritant is the nicest term you can describe Grayson Allen with. Every other descriptor is banned by the FCC. Matthew's trying to bite me. Let me give Matthew a kiss here. There you go, right on the cheek. Suns should tank for the 7 seed because we look fucking lost against them. Suns morphed into the Bad Boys Pistons on defense overnight. And the final comment on the subreddit stakeout, Miss Piggy, Phoenix owns us. This is hard to watch. Oh my God, there's a dog in here. I got to get out of here.
The Suns jam session, subreddit stakeout.
Oh, I'm unmuted.
You're unmuted. Yeah, that's correct.
Hey, I was just thinking, like, if we ever do the post game and like we ask questions, we should do them. Yeah, that's a character. It's like you're Batman,
Kevin Durant. So Kevin, why Kevin, don't you have an ass?
Booker, where is your ass? And why do you always land on where your ass would be?
They're like, what the fuck is? Who let these guys? Who let these guys in here?
Yeah, I don't know what they would do. No idea. I wish Durant, I could do that. How? Then, like,
am I meeting a credential?
I want to do that and then see what happens, but then rewind. You know, if we get kicked out and never get credentials again, then rewind. But like, okay, we'll never do that.
I know,
again.
I just right?
want to see the reaction.
Yeah. Well,
but that's a lot of things, I guess.
Oh, anything else from your notes?
No, we went over everything, dude.
Okay.
Jam star of the game.
All right, Jamsters, I'd ask you to subscribe. I'd ask you to rate. I'd ask you to review. I'd ask you to go to playback.tv and follow the Bright Side of the Sun channel. But none of that matters because you're not going to do it. That's okay. I'm not here for the likes. I don't need your likes. I like me. That's all that matters. I go onto like our Apple podcast and I look always to see if somebody's written a new review of the Suns Jam Session podcast, because you can rate 5 stars and then you can write a review. And we haven't had a review since the 3rd of March. It's been over a month since anybody's taken a little time out of the day, man, to just review us. So don't do any of the stuff. Don't hit the thumbs up. But you know what? I'll still read your jam stars. Matthew, I'll start with you. Who's your jam star?
I'm going to give it to, I think it's Grayson Allen. Oh, it's kind of a weird game.
It is a weird game.
I don't know who. No one really stuck out that much. I'll give it to Grayson Allen.
I'm going to give it to the Suns defense as a whole. That's where I landed.
Very nice.
That's where I landed. Taking a look at the chat on all the people who haven't reviewed our podcast on Apple Podcasts. Jamstar, the starters from Suns Fever 83, who has a new icon. I like your new logo there, Suns Fever 83. I notice these things. David Ray, Grayson Allen, Jam Star of the Game. Seth gives it to GA all day. Kip gives it to Nurk and Beal two-man game. Kiko says, my Jam Star is Beal for sacrificing so much to let the team win. Stewie Dewey gives it to Point Book. Michael Kolb says, Jam Star is team defense. Hell yeah, baby, go Suns. And Michael Kolb, if you didn't know this or don't watch along with us, doesn't know how to turn off caps locks ever. The Big Suns D is the jam star from John Tran. And again, thank you, John Tran, for joining me on playback.tv and hanging out. Team Everything. Suns Jam are the OGs. We are. Been doing this coming up on our 5-year anniversary.
5 years? Yeah. No way. I thought maybe it was coming up on 4 years. Okay.
This November, it's 5 years. That's why if like you look at all the Suns Jam gear, it says November 19 in the license plate thing, not on this hat, but on all the other ones. And then it says like BDB 602 on it. If you look, it's pretty cool. CL Oracle, Jamstar, George McFly, a.k.a. Grayson Allen. Maya B says Jamstar is Ant yelling. I love it. So next game up, we have the Pelicans, 3 p.m. on Sunday. Another big game, obviously, considering the state of the standings in the NBA. With their loss tonight, losing to the San Antonio Spurs. Oh, the irony. Oh, the irony indeed. The Suns are a full game ahead of them now for the 6th seed. So it goes, the Suns are 7 games behind the Timberwolves, who are now tied with the Denver Nuggets with the 1st seed. And then 1 game behind us is the Pelicans. 1 game behind them is both the Kings and the Lakers. And then the Golden State Warriors, who, man, they could have beat Dallas tonight, and if they beat Dallas, that would have been really nice. We would have been tied with them, at least record-wise, but they couldn't do it at the end. Again, I watched that on playback.tv, and I've said that too many times. But yeah, let's talk about that Pelicans game. Obviously, we beat them twice. Devin Booker scores 52 every time he plays against them, apparently. Does it continue on Sunday, or is there some regression for this team?
No, I think so. I think losing four games in a row of the Pelicans, it's tough where that team's from falling back, and it's so weird because I didn't really feel like they were going to be that team to really fall back in the season.
Yeah, but Brandon Ingram.
I know, but I still thought they had enough there to really kind of stay where they were. But I guess with everybody kind of getting hungry late or early April, late March, you know, they're going to fall. They're going to lose some games to these Western Conference teams that are looking to move up in the standings. I think that the Pelicans are not really a threat anymore, obviously. I think that the Suns definitely do have their number. I don't want to say it's going to be a win, though. It'd be crazy to see another stellar game like tonight, four games in a row, four wins in a row. The defense really cranking it up and just containing Zion like they usually do. So it's going to be an exciting game to watch. I know it's Sunday, right? 3 o'clock.
Yep. Sunday, 3 o'clock. And you said getting hungry late. I'm getting hungry late because Shannon's making bagels as we speak. And
she's making bagels right now?
Uh-huh.
How big are they?
I don't know.
Doesn't matter.
They're the jalapeno cheddar cheese ones.
Those are so good.
I know, dude. You might have to make a trek.
Oh, my God. I get so, pissed off, but, I just want.
You should. So I'll see you at, 8 in the morning? You're like.
You might.
I'm here for a bagel.
I come over.
I know. It's dude, they're so good.
I'll probably come over to get some bread. She has me or anything. I don't care, dude.
I asked her. I'm like, please, can you make them? She's like, well, you got to go to the store and get jalapenos and cheddar. I'm like, done. Fucking delicious. And Michael Kolb, sorry, boys. You're the best. I know. Two things, Michael Kolb. One, I was just kidding about the caps lock. And two, you used the wrong pretense or the wrong version of your there. It's you apostrophe R-E for you are. You're the best. Doesn't make sense. Sorry.
You're such a dick, John. it's in a rush, though, you know? I would have never caught that, Michael.
No,
John's the editor. He edited that shit.
Yes. I have to catch all this stuff on all of Matthew's articles.
Yep.
Where Matthew starts one sentence and then ends the other sentence, and they're two different thoughts. You're like, oh, if you just put a period in between, it makes it two.
I forget what moon sign I have. It's like an Aquarius or something where it's just very sporadic. You can tell from the pod where I start one way, finish another way, the way I write. I have to spend hours just be like, wait, hold on. Does that make sense? Where am I? I wonder
what my moon sign is. Can I Google that?
You can. Yeah. There's some kind of app you can download too.
I'm not downloading shit, but I will download playback.tv and subscribe to the Bright Side of the
Sun.
That's
going to be fun. I'm excited to
it's
do that.
It's fun, man. I'm
the
so
rest
excited.
Of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I it's really gonna be am. Cool. It's, I mean, we're already watching the games, right? Like
exactly,
we're already watching the games. So I might as well sit there and watch the games with you and with the community. And be a lot less, you know, because here when you watch Suns Jam Session, it's a show. We know we do an hour. We have our segments. We kind of go through it. I'm like, if you want to really watch how I watch games, you're going to find out I do this, a lot of the same things. I'm like, grab the fucking rebound. I say that a lot. What do I keep saying? John Tran, who was watching along, he probably heard a lot of my Johnisms. You know, it's like, make the shot. And then they miss it, and then they get a rebound. I'm like, all right, now you make the shot. Now you make the shot, you know. Or it's like when I watch football, I'm like, tackle him. All right, now you tackle him. All right, you tackle him. And I call a lot of guys idiots. I'm like, oh, what an idiot. But yeah, so there you go. Anything else you want to talk about before we get out of here, Matthew?
No, you know what? There was one thing about Bol Bol where I think tonight, defensively, he kind of stood up in a way where it was very crucial because offense, he's there, right? He ran the fast break, caught the bounce pass, finished at the rim. That was huge. That's a big thing going into the playoffs. Another big thing is defense. He looked like he held up his own. Who was the guard? Neil Alexander Walker.
Yeah.
Took him on. Bol, not a big deal. He deterred his shot at the rim. It was nice. So I saw a lot of good things on defense. Only 12 minutes though tonight, which sucks.
Yeah, I didn't really notice Bol Bol out there. To be
defensively,
honest.
He didn't at all.
Nah,
I thought he held his own.
Like you said, 12 minutes.
How dare you
ever
say that?
Yeah. And I do want to give a shout out to Frank Vogel. Sent me, you know, if you guys didn't watch the unboxing right here on the channel, he sent me a box.
What's in the box? In the fucking box? Give me the
gun. And they were Vogel ones. So I got a pair of Vogel ones that I'm going to wear to my 57.
Are you wearing the game? Oh, what if you're at the game Sunday and someone takes a picture of you, be like, John out there with his Vogel ones?
It's possible.
Like, we always look at everyone's shoes like it fucking matters.
I do. You know I do.
No, yeah.
Don't you fucking knock shoe culture.
I'm just joking, dude.
Remember, Devin Booker's Haven 1s go on sale 7 a.m. tomorrow morning.
I wonder how many children made those, dude. I wonder how old they were, probably 8 or 9 years old.
I wonder how many dogs they skinned to put the little fur on it.
How many eyeballs they used.
Yeah, how many eyeballs they used.
That's the brown color, right? Or yeah. His eyes.
Yeah, it's like brown eyes. Yeah. So, make sure you guys get those. Anything else you want to add?
The run stopper.
No. There you go. The run stopper. Kevin Durant. Follow me on Twitter at Darth Void, or read my writing at brightsideofthesun.com. Follow the show at Suns Jam. Follow Matthew.
At Matthew Lucy.
And tell him what to do.
Go home and love your family.
And eat your bagels.
Those bagels are so fucking good. Jalapeno. Cheddar.
I'm telling you,
I've got a German Shepherd that will eat you if you try to sneak into my house. Brooklyn will destroy you. There's nothing Brooklyn wants more.